have Jesus traveling through Samaria, talking to a woman he does not know. It's kind of like someone who supports Bernie Sanders for president talking politics at a honky-tonk in Texas. It's not a real smart move. Why would you do that? And I'm not going to go into what Jesus and this woman talk about. I'm going to go into the fact that they talked. This is a long conversation. I actually sat down and counted the number of words Jesus and this woman exchanged. I came up with about 335 words. With the exception of Jesus' conversation in the previous chapter with Nicodemus, which really isn't a conversation because halfway through Nicodemus just disappears and the last 260 words are all Jesus. This is the longest single conversation recorded that Jesus had with anyone in the Gospels. And it's with a Samaritan, it's with a woman, and it's with someone he does not know. Jesus thought talking was important. And today we are talking about talking as we talk about Faith 5. Family communication is important. We know family communication is important. We would love to have families who snuggle on the couch and talk and kiss one another, right? And that's how it is in every family we have, right? Communication is always wonderful, especially if you have those creatures called teenagers in your house. But there are younger versions of teenagers called preteens as well. But we don't just blame the kid, because a lot of parents are the roadblock to communication in families today. A lot of times we simply say, we can't communicate because we're just too busy. We have so much going on. With that reality in our lives, we are talking about Faith 5. And with that reality in our lives, we are talking about the importance of talking. Because communication is vital to families. When I meet with couples for premarital work, I usually say to them, I am a firm believer that 90% of a successful marriage is the ability to communicate openly and honestly with one another. But we live in an era where communication is changing rapidly. In the past, people wrote letters. I bet there are a lot of children here today who have never, ever written a letter in their lives unless mom and dad made them write one to grandma or they had to write one for a school assignment. My daughter Samantha loves collecting old letters. This summer on a massive rummage sale trip, she bought an entire box that contains 450 letters written by the Wheeler family, a family that lived in upstate New York. These letters date between 1895 and 1904. And it has been amazing reading these letters, peeking into their lives, people who wrote each other every day. People don't write letters today, they tweet, which has how many characters, Max? 140, okay? Not a whole lot goes in there. We communicate differently through motion pictures. Gone with the Wind, okay? Gone with the Wind is so long, they built an intermission in the middle of it. Music plays for 10 minutes so you can go to the bathroom or go get a new soda or popcorn, right? Okay, kids, tell your parents, what's a vine? What's a vine? It is a short video. How long? 7 seconds. And it's still too long for some people. Okay, Jim's going, well, you're old, Jim. Come on, get with it. Yeah, I'm proud of it. So many people today, their friendships, their communication all takes place on computers. The idea of face-to-face communication is really strange to a lot of people today. Communication has changed. So with that in mind, let's go back 3,000 years ago. When Moses says to the people of Israel, here's how I want you to communicate with one another. Moses says these words in Deuteronomy 6, right after the people of Israel have been given the Ten Commandments, long before they go into the Promised Land. But Moses says to them, God has given you his commandment, and here is how you need to keep his commandments. You need to observe them diligently. Why? Well, because there's some positive reasons for doing this. So that it may go well with you. You are to obey God's commandments so that you may multiply, as it says, so that you may multiply greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, has promised you. And then Moses gives to the people this great statement of faith. It's called the Shema Yisrael, the first two words in Hebrew. Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. God tells his people, this is what your relationship to God has been. And then he goes on in great detail to tell them how you are to keep this relationship. Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart. And then he says, recite them to your children. And he tells them when they are to recite them to their children. Recite them when you are at home and when you are away from home. Recite them when you are in bed and recite them when you are up. In other words, recite these words to your children all the time. He says, bind them on your foreheads and on your arms. And to this day, devout Jews still wear something called a phylactery. It's a little box that contains this verse from Deuteronomy, and they literally tie it on their foreheads and wrap it around their arms to remember this commandment. God says, affix it to your doorpost and your gates, and many Jews today still do this. Why? Because it is good for you to do this. It is important and vital for you to remember this and to communicate this with one another. And 3,000 years later, this kind of idea is still important for us as well. And that's why we're talking about Faith 5, about the importance of families talking and sharing and communicating. Now, last week, Pastor Heidi talked about one of the important things with Faith 5 is you take time each day to ask each other, what was your high point of the day and what was the low point of your day? Now, it seems like a very simple little thing, but you know what? It fosters communication with families, and a lot of families don't take the time to do that. And then Faith 5 encourages us to find ways in which we can take our highs and our lows and tie them into God's Word and what it means for us. Now, here's the problem with doing that. It takes time. We're busy people. There will always be some sort of opposition to doing this. Because, Mom, I don't want to. Or, kids, I don't want to. But the Bible reminds us of something. This kind of communication in our families is very, very important. Why did God tell his people to recite these commandments every day? The answer is very simple. Because Israel was surrounded. Israel was surrounded by foreign nations. Israel was surrounded by its enemies. Israel was surrounded by people who did not worship their God. It was surrounded by nations that practiced child sacrifice. It was surrounded by nations that had prostitutes in the temples. It was surrounded by nations where people worshiped idols made of wood, stone, and gold. And God knew that shiny things can lead us away from him. And so God commands his people to remember their story, to share their story, so they didn't forget it, so that they would be prosperous. And if you know the story of the Old Testament, you know it is a sad story because the people of Israel forgot to remember. I think this is one of the saddest verses in the entire Bible. It's from the very beginning of the book of Judges. It's after Moses has died. It's after Joshua has died. And we're told that a generation grew up that didn't know the Lord. They didn't know what God had done for them. And because they didn't know the Lord and they didn't remember what God had done for them, they fell away from the Lord, and this ended up with their destruction. It's a sad story, because they did not remember. So what about us today? We Christians need to remember that we are surrounded. Even though there are millions and millions of Christians in our country and billions in our world, we are still surrounded by a world that seeks to lead people away from God. And if you remember anything from my sermon, remember this next picture. Parents, if we do not teach our children to follow Christ, the world will teach them not to. It's that simple. If we don't take the time to teach our children about Christ, the world will do the opposite. A good example. What was yesterday? It's Reformation Day, but we'll go with Halloween, okay? I shared with our eighth graders in class on Wednesday night that Halloween is a Christian festival. And their response was, because they didn't know it. Because Halloween has been taken away from Christians. It has been. That's right, Will. It has been taken away from Christians and made something else. We live in a godless world, not a world that necessarily worships idols or sacrifices children, but we live in a world where for so many people, God's just not relevant. God's not a part of it. We live in a world where it's all about us and what we want. And in this wonderful book about Faith 5 by Dr. Melheim, listen to what he says about living in a godless world. A godless world is a meaningless world. It's a colder, crueler, and more heartless place as well. If Christians do not intentionally and intently fill their children's minds and hearts with the message of just how precious they are, these children will, by default, allow the world to tell another tale, that they are worthless and life is meaningless, that they are not precious and priceless. That is powerful. And we who live in this world that is filled with weapons of mass distraction, where communication can fall by the wayside, we need to remember how important something is as simple as Faith 5 that allows us to bring God back into a godless world. So how does this all work? Well, the first thing is this. It means we make time for it. We make time for lots of other things in our lives. We need to make time for this. And we, whether as families or friends or communities or groups, you know what? We need to take a little time to share our lives with one another. As simple, that's why this is, it's so simple. As simple as sharing our highs and our lows with one another. When our girls were younger, they came up through our confirmation program where we teach this, kids every week share highs and lows. We do this at our table. Life has changed now. We used to eat every meal together as a family, and now with my schedule and Sam's schedule and Hannah's schedule, we get to eat three nights together during the week. But I have the luxury of driving my daughter to UW-Milwaukee four times a week, okay? And on the days when she's not too tired, we take time to talk. And sometimes the conversations are superficial, but sometimes we talk about the highs and the lows. What's going on in our lives? That is important. Doing that makes a difference because that leads to something else that is vitally important, sharing our faith stories with one another. Parents, have you ever told your children why you're a Christian? If you have, good for you. If you haven't, that's a good conversation to have. We're going to be sharing that with our eighth graders just in a couple of weeks. Share around the table how your faith helps you with your highs, how it helps you with your lows, how your faith helps you make a difference. Do what Moses told the ancient Israelites to do. Share our faith story with one another. In the book of Acts, Peter and John are told to shut up and not talk about Jesus. And they respond, we cannot help but talk about what we have seen and heard. This all is the importance of talking. And talking about how the Bible can tie into our lives. Now again, a lot of us, how do I do that? Well, there's all kinds of wonderful resources. As simple as, keep an open Bible out. Take time, pick a verse out. Read it in your bulletins today. You've got a little insert, which we do not want anyone to turn back into the ushers. Ushers, don't let them give this back to you. Because on the back of it are verses you can read this week. Those smartphones, those computers, they have Bible apps where you can get a verse a day. Send your child a Bible verse every day. Send each other a Bible verse every day. Our eighth graders in my New Testament class, they're studying the New Testament, and I got a worksheet back when they were talking about how Jesus treated people. And in one of the questions, one of the students wrote, my parents and I were really confused by this. And I went, yes! Because you know what? Mom and Dad were working with their child to do their confirmation homework together. And they were all confused together. Isn't that a good thing? We need to remember that it's not what we do for our kids, but it's what we teach our children to do for themselves that is important. It ties back to this verse from Proverbs Pastor Heidi shared last week about training up children in the right way. And parents, should you have issues with this? Dr. Melheim is just a really great writer. And he says this to parents, if you should have children who should balk about this. He takes us back to The Wizard of Id, that wonderful Johnny Hart cartoon about the golden rule. And what's the golden rule? Whoever has the gold makes the rules. So what he says to parents, if your children can't find 5 minutes to share their highs and lows with you, then just remind them, then I guess I don't have 5 minutes to drive you somewhere. They're going to talk real, real fast. The New Testament makes it very simple. We're in the middle of a storm, and God does not want us to be tossed to and fro, as it says in the book of Ephesians. He doesn't want us to be children tossed to and fro, blown about by every wind of trickery, by craftiness and scheming. But God wants us to speak the truth in love. Because when we speak the truth in love, then we grow up, all of us, in every way, to be the kind of people God wants us to be. Mature like Jesus Christ. Jesus knew talking was important. He took the time to talk to people, to spend time with them. As busy as he was, he took the time. And so we need to also take the time to talk with one another, to talk with our children, with our family, with our friends, with our co-workers, with those who are fellow Christians, with those who are not believers. And just ask, how was your day? What went well? What didn't? And use that as a springboard for talking about bigger and more important things. Those words from Deuteronomy 6 are still important because Jesus used those when he told us what the great commandment is. We still have our eighth graders memorize these words because they are important. So let's talk with one another, celebrate with one another, share with one another. It is important and it's worthwhile. Next week, we'll talk about how we tie prayer into all of this as well.